This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we talk about the issue of O&C lands and some of the work that has been going on. This has kind of turned into a series as we explored this with the new director of the Communities for Healthy Forests earlier the week and former Commissioner Doug Robertson, who's now the executive director of the Association of O&C Counties. I had him on Wednesday, now County Commissioner Tim Freeman, in to talk more about it. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So you were over in Boise or the Boise area earlier this week. I know we're doing some work on that issue. Talk about that.
So as you know, I'm the president of the board of directors for the Association of O&C Counties. So in that role, we spend a lot of time educating congressmen and new commissioners and the public on what O&C land is. It's such a unique set of land. This land only occurs in 18 Oregon counties. Of course, it's Oregon-California railroad land, so people often think that there are also these lands in California. These lands have never been in California. The lands are named after a railroad company that was named the Oregon-California Railroad Company. So since they're such a unique set of lands, they are the only timberland that are it's a dominant use and not a multiple use, and they're the only set of timberlands that are managed for timber production by the BLM, period. So it's very unique, very specific. So each time there's a new Congress or each time there's a new majority party and new chairs of committees, we have to go explain this all over again. So we had a chance to do a little bit of that this week. And we'll have some more chance to do that next week. But this week on Monday, which happened to be a county holiday, not that that matters, myself and Doug Robertson drove over first to Eastern Oregon, to Ontario, and met with Representative Cliff Bentz. Cliff Bentz represents Congressional District 2, which is all the east side of Oregon, down around through Jackson County, up through Josephine County, and the southern portion of Douglas County now, which is new for him. So he has a relatively significant amount of O&C land. Cliff is familiar with O&C land. However, he had not met Doug, the executive director for O&C, and I had not visited with him in a while about it. So we first met with him Monday. He was the first congressman we met with, and that was Monday evening. We actually got about 3.5 hours with him, so an incredible amount of time with a congressman to go over many different issues. The main issues we're working on right now, and with all these congressmen, are relatively easy lifts, but meaningful, and we can go over those after I talk about all the people we've met with. So that was Monday. We went on to Meridian, Idaho, Monday evening, spent the night there. The next day, we had a chance to meet in Meridian with Congressman Russell Fulcher. And Congressman Fulcher is just starting his third term. Again, he represents the 1st Congressional District in Idaho. And people will wonder, well, why are you talking to congressmen in Idaho? Well, the fact is, since these lands only occur in Oregon, we need to educate all the congressmen that will listen to us, and specifically those that are on natural resource committees. And Congressman Fulcher is on one of the natural resource committees and really gave us an amazing amount of time to kind of explain what O&C is and what we are going to work on during this Congress. We left with his support to work on these concepts we're working on. And then later that day, we met with some staff from Mike Simpson's office. Now, Mike Simpson is somebody he's a congressional or a Congress member from Idaho also, more of a senior member. And we've met and worked with him many times. He happened to have, after we set these appointments up, had an emergency surgery he was having taken care of. So we had a chance to meet with one of his senior staffers, Nikki Wallace. The great thing about this Congress is that with the Republicans in charge, Mike Simpson now is the chair of the House Interior Appropriation Committee. So the issues we're going to work on are specific to his committee. And again, he's known this issue. I've met with him multiple times. I've met with him in Idaho. I've met with him in Washington, D.C. And he understands what we're up against and is committed to helping us with this, with the work we're doing. So again, the specific things we're working on this time and during this Congress, one is the 1937 ONC Act provides that counties get 50% of the timber receipts generated from harvesting timber off the ONC lands. Up until the early 80s, for a period of time, the counties voluntarily gave 25% of that money up back to the BLM for the management of the lands. So in 1937, there was some money withheld from the counties to pay back some things Congress had done. In 1952, counties got their full 75% payment, and then the Association of ONC Counties voluntarily gave back 25% of their timber receipt and did that all the way up into the 80s, the equivalent of about $2 billion of investment into these lands. And then in the early 80s, that switched to an appropriation of, and during the appropriation process and the appropriation bill, they do a rider that takes that 25% away from counties through the appropriation bill instead of voluntarily. So we are seeking to change that back to the 75% to counties and 25% to the treasury. And that simple two-sentence rider in the appropriation bill will change the amount of money the 18 ONC counties get by between $8 and $10 million and make it much better for counties to take timber receipts for ONC funding rather than secure rural schools. So we see it as a pathway to get off the secure rural schools, off, you know, what some people describe as government welfare, back to production and county governments and county services being provided, connected and recoupled with the land that's being managed. So we had that conversation with all three of two of the congressmen and the other congressman's staff. All three of them were very understanding of that and seem like they're going to be very helpful with that.
So you're looking for the idea then, if this goes through, of maybe more stability in terms of what can be expected, because it seems like in some of the past years, as things changed, suddenly your amount shifts dramatically and you're left to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah, so each time the Secure Rural Schools program expires and the renewal either happens or doesn't happen, it creates this uncertainty in county budgeting. And again, we're talking about just the 18 ONC counties, but that Secure Rural School funding also funds Forest Service counties. Douglas County is also one of those. And there's 40 states and about 400 counties that receive Forest Service Secure Rural School funding. So we're not talking about that end of it. We're talking just about the ONC side. And we see a pathway to get the 18 ONC counties off of Secure Rural Schools and back onto timber receipts and back to fulfilling the promise of sustainable, reasonable management of ONC lands to provide basic and essential county services. So, again, when we have that conversation with these congressmen and their staff, they were very, very excited about the idea of the ONC counties becoming part of the solution, being part of being productive, and not being part of just taking money out of the treasury. So that resonated very well, and we got great support for that.
So it sounds like really a two-pronged approach, shift the amount that goes out, but also at the same time be reevaluating how lands are managed so that more production takes place.
Yeah, so that's some of the other things that we worked on. So again, we recognize that it's, you know, it's a split Congress and an administration that's not going to take huge steps towards harvesting more timber. I will tell you, in the last 8 years, we have worked, our Association of ONC Counties has worked very closely with the BLM at the state level and local level, and they have brought their production up and they're meeting their targets in the resource management plan. Now, we're not going to spend a bunch of time talking about it because I've talked about the litigation, how that target's very low, but at least now, for the first time in a long time, they are meeting the target. And because of that, the timber receipts, even at the 50%, are very close to what the Securrel school payments are. So this change in going from 50% to 75%, again, that is in the current statute, will make the difference where counties would be wise to opt into taking timber receipts. But in the idea of increasing harvest, there's a few other things we've worked on.
So let's cover those when we come back.
Perfect.
The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. We'll have Umpqua Valley Live looking at arts, entertainment, community events coming up at 4 this afternoon, getting ready for the weekend. County Commissioner Tim Freeman on today's program talking about ONC lands, recent meetings that have been going on, and a proposal to make some shifts that he feels like will be beneficial for Douglas County and the other counties. Talk more about some of the specifics here.
So people may remember some years ago, I went back to D.C. and testified in front of a congressional committee on Congressman Bruce Westerman's Federal Forest Resiliency Act. Congressman Westerman's the only forester in Congress, and he's from Arkansas. And it's amazing how similar some of their issues are in Arkansas as that we have here in Oregon. So in that conversation, of course, with the Republicans being back in the majority in the House, you know, he's back working on that. And so a couple ideas we have, and these are gaining traction, and we're continuing to work with Congressman Westerman. One is, after these catastrophic wildfires, much of the land, matter of fact, all the land prior to the fire is in some kind of a designated category, whether it's a, you know, a matrix or a harvest land base or a reserve of some kind. And I could spend an hour going through all the different reserve categories. But on the ONC lands, 80% of the lands are in a reserve. And the resource management plan says after a catastrophic wildfire, you cannot salvage the timber in a reserve. And primarily they're put in reserves because they meet a certain habitat designation or a certain characteristic of the landscape that is something that they're trying to protect. Well, as you might imagine, after a catastrophic fire, that land base and that stand of dead timber no longer meets that designation. However, once it's in the designation, it's not reevaluated. So a simple idea we have is after a catastrophic event, and you can define that however you want, the agencies are required within a certain amount of days, or a certain amount of months, 6 months, to go back in and recategorize those lands and check them. If they still meet the definition of the category they were put in for, leave them alone. But if they no longer meet that definition, in other words, they're no longer sustain the habitat they were trying to sustain or other characteristics that they were trying to save or to reserve, they should be taken out of that category and reclassed, and that dead and dying timber should be removed and new forest should be planted. And that's a very simple concept, but the agencies can't do it because there's no law that either requires them to do it or allows them to do it. So that's one thing we worked on. And that's hard to debate or argue. I mean, it's hard to, oftentimes when you talk to congressmen, they'll ask you, well, what is the other side going to think about this? Well, you know, I think the other side, maybe doesn't fully understand that after some of these really bad catastrophic fires, the best thing for the landscape is to remove the dead and dying trees and to plant new timber, and you'll get back to whatever characteristic or whatever goal you were trying to create that land base so much quicker than if you just leave it to rot. And I think there's some movement, some discussion on that.
Well, and also some have talked about the fact that some of these fires, the 2020 fires in particular, but others in recent years, have burned hotter and consumed more because of all the dead material that hadn't been sent out.
So again, the reason why we at ONC are able to talk about that in a way that makes a lot of sense is that, number one, is this is a dominant use land designation. It's not a multiple use. So and we have, from 1937 to now, we have this history of managing these forests under what's a term called sustained yield. So sustained yield is a conservation term that means you never harvest more than what grows. So the 1937 ONC Act was the first time Congress passed a conservation act. So the ONC Act is actually a conservation act. It has that term in it. And we have a 50 years of data and experience where managing under sustained yield produced not only the timber output that was required in the act, but also the other parts of the act, the clean air, the clean water, the recreational opportunities, and the enhanced economic benefit to the community. Those are all things in the act that are called for. And those things like recreation, now that you have, you know, the last 30 years of not managing under sustained yield, your opportunity to recreate on these lands is far less. Between the gates that have been put up and the fires that have burnt, the roads that have been closed, you can't recreate as much on the lands. The clean air, we all live here in the summertime and breathe that smoke that's coming off of these lands. So certainly we failed in the clean air. And I think as these lands get burnt and the timber, you know, rots and falls over and uproots the ground, the sediment and the water, the clean water isn't happening. So we have 50 years of sustained yield management where you're meeting all the goals and the values that are required in the act and the community wants. And then you have this last 30 years where you weren't doing sustained yield and you're not meeting those goals. So that's a great story to tell. And because it's only 2.1 million acres and only in 18 counties, it's very easy to memorialize that data and explain it and use it as a demonstration for all land that's managed by the federal government, specific timberland across the United States. So we're in a great position. We've got great data. The data's from the BLM. They are the right organization to manage these lands. If done properly, there's a great history of them doing it very well. And again, there's more timber on these lands than when they started managing them. So there's a way to do it that creates all the values and all the benefits and cuts down the fire risk and all those other things that we're very interested in today. And it's kind of exciting to meet with congressmen and folks that understand that. And I talked a little bit earlier about having to educate other folks. So this is a new year, a new calendar year, and we have our first ONC meeting coming up next week, our board meeting, and we have several new board members. So county commissioners get elected in all these counties, and they send new board members. So we have to back up and do this education that we're doing for the new congressmen and for folks that are working on the issue in D.C. We also have to do it here in Oregon for our new members of our ONC board. So we spend a lot of time. Doug Robertson's a master at this. I've become having to do it more and more, I've become better at it. And we spend a lot of time educating people specifically on what ONC lands are and why they're unique and why they're different than other federal lands. There's other really important federal lands, but these are specific and unique, and we do a lot of educating on what they are.
So for the organization then, do you have then a board member from each county?
Yeah, the way the organization works, each member county, each of the 18 counties are eligible to have a member. And to get a board slot, you just simply have to pay your dues to the organization. Those dues are appropriated in a way similar to what the timber receipts are issued out and calculated for each county. So Douglas County, of course, pays the most because we get the most timber receipts. But all 18 counties pay a portion, and each county that is a paying dues member, their county commission gets to pick who their representative on the board is. Then all the counties vote for the executive board, which is a treasurer secretary. I held that position for 1 year, and then a vice president and a president. And I'm in my seventh year of being president. So, pretty good group. The nice thing about the ONC Association is we only work on one issue. We only work on the ONC lands, and we focus on the 1937 ONC Act. So unlike the Association of Oregon Counties that focuses on everything counties do, and there's quite a diverse thing that counties do and diverse opinions, the Association of ONC Counties only works on ONC issues, and that brings a group together that is relatively diverse politically, diverse geographically, and we only focus on that, and we work very well together working on that issue.
Just under a minute left. What kinds of things are you going to be working on in the coming weeks?
Well, one of the things that we are working on with these congressmen and making sure that the Congress knows this is that we're a little frustrated that when Lawsuits are filed and won by the environmental community, the BLM almost immediately reacts and switches direction to whatever the court orders. We won our lawsuit in 2019, and the BLM, to no large measure, has changed direction. And we see there's a need to hold the agency accountable, really at the the state and national level, to making sure that they are following judges' orders equally on both sides of the ledger. So we're going to do a little of that work in the next few weeks. Again, our board meeting's next week down in Jackson County. We move our board meeting around to the different member counties, and we have a chance to educate some of our new board members down there.
Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.